Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Hey there, Bat fans. Welcome to the Beyond the Batcave podcast, the Batman-centric DC movie podcast. Tonight, we got a very special topic for you. We're continuing our analysis of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. But first, let me introduce ourselves. I'm Andy Piper, one of your co-hosts.
And I'm your other co-host, Taylor Jackson. So, like Andy said, we are continuing our discussion of Batman v Superman. We're entitling today's discussion our Lex v Superman podcast. I'm kind of analyzing these two characters, how they're portrayed in the film, their motivations, and a little bit of background about their histories outside of this film.
Yeah, so tonight we kind of divided up the workload. I am the resident Lex Luthor expert for the night. I don't actually claim to be an expert because some of you listeners out there will totally decimate me with your knowledge, but I've done the research here and Taylor's handled Superman. We'll both be chiming in, but we'd really want to explore the relationship between these two characters. It's been one of the most iconic in comics and movies, especially movies. Everybody knows about Lex versus Superman.
You're definitely right. Recent, you know, polls of greatest villains, both rank, like two that I was looking at, IGN and another, both have Lex Luthor as one of the top 10 villains of all time. So, you know, you're really right that it is really iconic.
He's probably in good company up there. Like, who else was on that list?
Definitely. I think we have quite the rogues gallery here in DC.
Well, awesome. Let's start off. Yeah. Tell me what you know about Superman. Let's hear what you got to say about him in the movie.
Okay. So, as I was thinking about him, I kind of went back to some Man of Steel material, kind of compared it to what went on in Batman vs. Superman. And as we were kind of discussing it, you know, this movie is just really loaded. It is really jam-packed, full of so much, that I think there's a lot we kind of miss, or we don't quite feel, perhaps, what they want us to feel as far as Superman goes, especially. I felt he was kind of the most, in my opinion, underdeveloped character in Batman vs. Superman. The main thing, I guess, for example, I feel like one of the main purposes of Superman, as this is a Man of Steel sequel, is he's trying to, in a sense, convince us of his humanity. But at the same time, what I realized upon kind of thinking about it in the recent days is he's also trying to figure out his own. He hasn't quite settled on Earth yet. I think he has some semblance of settledness, if that can be coined a word.
Yeah, I'd agree with what you're saying, because, like, you remember the line from the movie when he gets really discouraged after the bombing in the Capitol building. Lois tells him about the symbol of hope. She says, that means something. And she puts her hand on his chest, and he's like, it was hope on my world. My world is dead. It's gone. And so that kind of makes you think he's identifying with his old world. But yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. And that brings up kind of like a contrast, because, you know, at the end of the film, spoiler alert, when Superman goes for his final, you know, joust against Doomsday.
I like the joust.
And so when he goes for that final little showdown with the spear, he's telling Lois, this is my home. He's finally come to a sense of, this is my duty to protect these people. This is, you know, kind of where I'm at and how it's okay to go about. As far as how he's handled in this film, I just felt like, we kind of talked about last week a little bit about kind of editing and kind of choices and how they decided to handle all the different plots that were going on at the same time. And I felt like that just kind of left him with kind of the short end of the stick. As far as his physical presence in the film, I felt like there just wasn't a lot of screen time with Superman, especially where he wasn't kind of either fighting Batman or something else. And so it's hard for me to kind of get a hold of his motivations. And so as I was looking back over Man of Steel, I felt like Man of Steel did a pretty good job of trying to develop his sense of humanity and trying to get us to really relate and like Superman, and especially as kind of a new actor with Henry Cavill. They did a great job, I feel, kind of making him relatable to us in Man of Steel, in a sense. But I felt like even in Man of Steel, it came through some small and simple things that I felt were what really did it for me as far as really liking him. A couple of scenes come to mind. The first one is the bar scene in Man of Steel. If you don't remember, it's a quick recap. He kind of stands up for a girl who's getting mistreated by her significant other, if you could even call him that.
Yeah, he's just that random guy in the bar. Right? He's like the trucker.
Yeah, that's
right. Just passing through, just being a jerk to the waitress.
Definitely, that's right. And so he kind of stands up for her, and even then it's not like a big thing. He just says, hey, you know, kind of cut that out. And he gets, you know, booze poured all over him and just kind of gets mistreated. And, you know, this is kind of like, whoa, this guy has a lot of restraint. You know, if this was me in a random bar, no one knows who I am, it might be the perfect moment to punch the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. And obviously, you know, he has a little fun with his truck afterwards.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the first scene for me that kind of said, hey, you know, this is kind of showing us kind of some human qualities.
I think that scene is like one of the quintessential shows how Zack Snyder does storytelling without words, because if you look at the structure of that scene, everything you need to know is there. You know, Clark is in the bar, he's working, he stands up for that girl, you know he's a good guy. Then the trucker gets up, gets in his face, and pushes him. Clark doesn't budge. The guy, like, pushes himself back off Clark. He's like an immovable object. That tells me, whoa, this guy is immensely powerful. You know that he does not have to put up with it just from that. And they never say it, because I remember in Superman the movie, Clark says, if I played football, you know, I could score a touchdown every time I got the ball. We don't have that here. He doesn't talk about how powerful he is and how he makes the choice to not punch that guy's lights out or punch him through the wall, probably what would happen. But you just see it. And then he just turns and walks away. And I think that tells us a lot about his personality. So I agree with you. A great moment. I love that bar scene in Man of Steel.
Yeah. No, I thought it was, like you said, quintessential. Really good kind of demonstration, getting us to feel related with Superman on that human level. We can also talk about Man of Steel, kind of where the scene where he saves his mom in Smallville and Zod comes from him. What I really wanted to focus on, kind of as a last example, was just kind of a scene that I feel, or part of a scene that I feel was really overlooked in Batman vs. Superman. So this is the scene. Batman's saving Martha. Superman ends up with Lex in Zod's ship, and Doomsday comes to life. And Doomsday throws the first punch. Lex Luthor was in direct path of that punch, but in a split-second decision, Superman, in very Superman style, gets between Lex and Doomsday. And I just feel like they didn't emphasize that as much as they could have.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that, I was like, whoa, this is a guy who just essentially could have killed your mom, and almost did, and your girlfriend, and, you know, got you almost killed by fighting Batman.
Not a good idea. Don't fight Batman. Yeah, you do not want to pick a fight with this guy.
I surely don't want to. And so, but he still, this is the perfect moment of Superman saving people he doesn't have to save, or in the eyes of many people, shouldn't save. And there's a lot of people who wouldn't mind if Lex Luthor wasn't around, you know? But I feel like not a lot of people remember that part of Batman versus Superman, if anybody. I'm sure there's a few people. But I feel like that was a great moment to capitalize on his emotional qualities.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me throw out a couple theories here. So one, I think that this movie was just crowded. And guys, I love this movie, but I recognize that it was really crowded. But really, I love it. Like, solid A-minus type movie for me. It was just, there wasn't time to give the kind of emphasis that needed to be given to small character moments like that. Like Superman saving Lex, when Lex was the one who created this thing, brought this thing into the world, and he wasn't going to take responsibility for it. Superman just saves him. Another thing is, I think that, now I'm not sure who the blame lies with for this, but somebody in the front offices there was very keen to emphasize the godly characteristics of Superman over the human characteristics, if that makes sense. Or maybe just the whole movie. We were talking about big themes that deal with more than just a person, rather than focusing on small moments of one person, if that makes sense. Like Zack Snyder has said, I like to treat them as mythological, and we don't see him as human that much. That was a very human moment by Clark saving Lex in there, but it just kind of got glossed over. A lot of people didn't even realize it was there, and we just forgot about it as soon as it was done. But then, for example, the death of Superman is long drawn out because it's a bigger theme, focusing more on iconic imagery and just that mythological, the sacrifice, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of just that small moment, he saves this guy. And so I think it got glossed over for those two reasons. Maybe if we'd focused a little bit more on those, it would have been more of the emotional connection that we've been looking for with Superman.
Definitely. No, I appreciate those insights. It definitely depends a lot on that tone that they're kind of going for. You know, the, kind of the dying hero's death would take a lot more precedence over those human moments that we see. And as far as, I mean, I have a couple other points as far as Superman goes. I feel like there were a couple moments in Batman versus Superman where I felt like, you know, there was maybe a slight, I don't know if it even go as far as calling it a joke, but a slight moment of jest. Like, I really loved the scene with Lex and Superman on the skyscraper up on the rooftop there.
That was a great scene.
I just thought the kind of banter between Lex and Superman was just so classic in my mind. And that really kind of, I started to really like Superman again. Like, those feelings kind of came back for me up in that scene. But outside of that scene, I don't know, I just felt like there wasn't a lot in Batman vs. Superman. Kind of like we touched on, that kind of convinced me of that humanity. And, you know, we can talk about how kind of more the emphasizing of the godlike characteristics. And I could definitely see that. And so I guess, I don't know, do you feel like that's, what do you think the people want from, I guess, Superman? As far as, do you think they want, do you think that's a good choice as far as the emphasis goes? Kind of the mythological versus the human Superman?
I think we need to ease off a little bit on the mythological aspects of it. I don't know. I'm no filmmaker. I'm just a guy that likes movies. But
as am I.
I think that it's really important that your audiences connect with characters in any kind of movie that you're making, whether it be a horror movie, a comedy, a superhero movie. And we're not going to connect with Superman if we don't get a chance to hear him talk, to show what he's about. I mean, all the stuff is in the movie. They left just enough there that if we think about it for a long time, we know what Superman's about. And I connect with him because I love him, and I've been thinking about it for 6 weeks. But I do think they need to make it more accessible to a general audience, put more emphasis on the moments that show us that he's a likable guy, that he's vulnerable, that he's very human, and then we'll see a greater critical and public reception. I'm not saying the public reception of this movie was bad. I just think it was kind of mixed. Yeah. The critical reception was bad, yes.
Yeah. And so, I like that a lot. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. But I feel like I agree. I mean, me personally, I honestly haven't always liked Superman. And so, like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I grew up with Batman. And so anything that was not Batman was not my friend. I didn't know, like, the contrast and that Superman provided. And so for me, I definitely agree that kind of the more human moments of Superman are what really get me to like him. And so I definitely agree kind of with that easing off there a little bit as far as that goes. How do you feel about Henry Cavill? I feel like for what they gave him in the film, I feel like he did a great job for what he was given.
Yeah, I don't blame Henry Cavill for any issues with Superman. I really like him as Superman. I think the look is there. He looks like Superman. When I see him, I'm like, dang, he's huge.
Yeah.
When I saw him in Man of Steel the first time, when he climbs out of the, when he goes into the ocean after the oil rig, and he climbs out and he's like stealing clothes off that guy's clothesline, I was like, that is the buffest human being I've ever seen. he's Superman, you know? And I really like it when he acts. I think he's a very nuanced guy in real life, and that carries over. Like anything else I've ever seen him in, I've also liked him.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He was recently in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I love that film.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. I liked it a lot. And Henry Cavill's good in it. Anyway, I like Henry Cavill, to answer your question.
Awesome. And so, the last point that I thought of as we're kind of looking back in Superman, you know, this, despite the Batman vs. Superman title, this is a sequel to Man of Steel, undeniably a Man of Steel sequel. And so I just feel like there were some themes from Man of Steel that kind of got lost and forgotten that could have been more carried out here as far as Superman goes. As I was reviewing Man of Steel, kind of I had forgotten almost a little bit about the contrast between kind of his Earth dad and his space dad, you know? And that, in his mind, as far as his motivations, it became a little more clear to me that that's very much at the front of his mind throughout Batman v Superman. As far as, you know, the Jonathan Kent, the world isn't ready for Superman, or like kind of use restraint with your powers, versus, you know, Jor-El saying, you know, you are going to be a symbol, you are going to be hope, and kind of the world needs Superman. And so I feel like there's definitely those underlying motivations are still there in Superman's mind, but kind of like we said with the generalizing to the public, the general audience, I think that gets kind of shoved under the rug if they didn't watch Man of Steel 5 minutes before going into this film.
Not only that, I think Man of Steel suffers a little bit from the same issue we were just talking about. I think a lot of Jonathan Kent's motivation gets glossed right over in Man of Steel. A lot of people's main complaint with Man of Steel is that that's not really Jonathan Kent. He wants Clark to let this bus full of kids die and just keep his identity secret and stuff. But there's one little line near the end of Man of Steel that is very telling, but a lot of people just forget about it because there's absolutely no emphasis put on it. It's in a conversation between Clark and Martha, and Martha says, you know, he always believed you were meant for something greater. And so we find out there that he always believed that Clark was meant for something greater. He didn't want him to stay secret. He didn't want him to let buses full of kids die. He was just a confused dad trying to figure out what to do with a crazy alien super strength laser son. You know, I think any of us who had a crazy super strength laser son would be in much the same position. But I can appreciate that, but I think maybe they should put a little bit more emphasis on, yeah, Jonathan did think he was meant for something greater. He didn't want him to hide his whole life.
Right. And so, I don't know, yeah, definitely. And so I think kind of that confusion that Jonathan had could definitely, you could see it kind of carried over into Clark is still a little confused, I think, in this film. There's definitely lots of moments where I felt like he just didn't quite know what to do. I think that's part of his big dilemma in a lot of these situations is he, at pretty much his whole conflict in the movie is he tries to do something right and it just kind of blows up in his face. And so he's trying to figure out how to do the right thing and have people want him around for doing the right thing. So, but overall feelings of Batman, I think it could have been handled a little better in some regards, but I think there's a lot more there than is kind of on the surface.
Yeah, it's a very interesting paradox with this Superman. We have a Superman that is perhaps more human than any other Superman we've seen. With this much screen time anyway, like you could make arguments for Smallville, he was pretty human. At the same time, we focus less on his humanity than we ever have in any other Superman. We will focus more on his great feats, his godlike characteristics. His small character, human moments are there, but they just get glossed right over, like we were talking about. And I think maybe that's something that I hope they don't continue with that in Justice League. I think it'll be a lot more character-focused movie, just because that's what makes Justice League fun. In addition to them beating the snot out of awful bad guys, we get to see how those characters play off each other, the different character interactions. And by nature, you focus more on a character when that's the fun part of the movie, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about Lex Luthor. And, wow, what an interesting character, first of all.
Definitely. I think when he's the most complex depiction of Lex that I've ever seen, in my opinion.
So, as I sit down and think about this Lex Luthor, I don't know how many of you out there have ever read the Superman graphic novel Birthright from the early 2000s, but this Lex is very reminiscent of that one in several ways that I'll bring up here. This is kind of what I was thinking. So the first thing is that this Lex, he's got a big ego. All Lexes have a big ego. Every variation of Lex Luthor has a gigantic ego. Sees himself as the smartest man in the world. the one poised to make great scientific discoveries, and he's a captain of industry, all that stuff. This one, let's see, he suffered as a child. He says that he was abused by his father, and just the fact that he was abused convinced him that there was no good in the world. Anybody that had power could not be good because they were letting people suffer like that. He really struggled as a child, and I see a parallel there with Lex Luthor and Birthright. Let me just tell you about him. He and Clark Kent meet in high school, and Clark, just being the good guy that he is, tries to reach out and be friends with this weird reject that Lex is.
Yeah.
And he makes friends with him and finds that Lex's problem is that he's just too smart. He can't relate with anybody, and I see a lot of that in this Lex. The Lex that stands up on the stage at his own event that he's hosting, and he can't even make a coherent speech because he just gets lost in his giant brain.
And nobody knows what he's talking about.
Nobody
in the film.
Knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I love that though. He's like, blah, blah, blah. Open bar. Anyway, good speech. But gets lost in his own head. He just can't handle being that smart. He even mentions it in his speech. Those who have all the knowledge do not have all the power, and that is paradoxical, and he gets all fired up about it. Yeah, so we see that he's just very troubled by big themes like that. He thinks that anything that has power cannot be good, so he sets out to get all the power he can by gaining knowledge. But then once he gets all that knowledge, he still finds that he is still not the most powerful guy around, because here shows Superman comes on the scene, mankind is introduced to the Superman, and they think he's the greatest thing ever. They build him a huge monument in Metropolis, and Lex just cannot stand this because in his mind, he knows that anything with that much power cannot be good, and he wants to expose Superman for the fraud he is.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that, it kind of reminds me of how a lot of times we just kind of think that Lex has always hated Superman, and just kind of the motivations are more kind of, I guess, jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Birthright and Batman v Superman show us that there's a lot more under the hood as far as this goes. I mean, I think even Smallville mm-hmm. kind of shows that there's a lot of that. They, you know, Smallville, they were actually friends for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's more of kind of that megalomania sometimes, or just a lot of the kind of complex, troubling soul-searching questions that he
yeah.
has.
I think something that maybe we miss from the movie when we watch it until we think about it later is that Lex's beef with Superman isn't personal. It has nothing to do with Superman, really.
Right.
It's all, it comes from him. It comes from Lex's insecurities. Like, when I talk about his ego, there's that part, for example, where Senator Finch is in his house and he's trying to make a point to her, say something very dramatic. You know what the biggest lie in America, Senator, is? I mixed up some words there. And he's tapping on the table. And then she just grabs his hand, stops him tapping, and never lets him finish that sentence. And he feels compelled to tell her what the biggest lie in America is as his last words before he knows she's about to get blown up. Like, he's got a huge ego. And it just bothers him that people would pretend to have power over him. So anyway, let's move on from that point, unless you got something else to say there.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think Lex's motivations were beautifully complex. It was great to watch. Props to Jesse Eisenberg for... At least for me, he made that a very believable character.
Oh, totally.
Some people didn't like it. I just scratched my head over that. I guess I can see it, but...
I feel like the people that didn't like it more just had a hard time understanding him, and we want kind of a easy-to-understand villain. I feel like we're kind of spoon-fed as far as mm-hmm. our villains go a lot of times. As far as, like, kind of black and white, this is what the villain wants. And Lex, there's a lot more than meets the eye as far as Lex goes.
Yeah, Lex Luthor. Anyway, what a great portrayal in this movie. So something else that was a little bit different about him that I also found unique to Birthright is he was a mad scientist. He was a little bit crazy. So in Birthright, when you meet Lex, he originally moves to Smallville during high school because he knows there's some kryptonite there. He goes to find it because he wants to use the kryptonite to open up like a portal, a window into the past. It's kind of fake science, obviously.
Right.
But he wants to use the kryptonite to like call out to its home planet and communicate with the Kryptonians in the past. And he actually succeeds in doing that. But it explodes, burns off his hair, you know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So then we have bald Lex. Clark is the only one who's there for him. And they actually get to a point where Clark... sorry, Clex. Cute Clex. Couple name. No, Clark and Lex bond because Clark's the only one who's there for him. Lex also latches onto the fact that Clark's the only other one who even cares about learning in Smallville. Everybody else is just high schoolers, you know?
Mm-hmm. And in so, Kansas.
Yeah, in Kansas.
Nothing against man. Any of our
I used to live in Kansas. So. It's, no, I totally vouch for that. Just joking. I love you guys out there, you Kansans. Anyway, so Clark goes over to Lex's house as Lex is trying to open up this portal with the kryptonite. And obviously he has the reaction, clutches his heart, starts sweating because he's reacting to the kryptonite radiation. Right. And Lex totally misreads what's going on. He thinks that Clark is like, Lex, you idiot, what are you doing? You're crazy. And he yells at Clark to get out, throws him out the door, and then it explodes. And so that's Lex's one positive relationship in his whole life that's been cut off just as he's on the verge of achieving what he thinks is his greatest achievement. I think we see something very similar here. I mean, Lex didn't have one positive relationship in this movie at all, which made him a little bit more mad, I think, but I really do think they were drawing inspiration from this version of Lex, this mad scientist, misunderstood, he's just too good for the rest of us, and I really enjoyed seeing that portrayal on the big screen.
Definitely. I think every, correct me if I'm wrong, or listeners, if you know of other things, but I feel like on the big screen, we always see the business Lex. I mean, sometimes he tinkers with things that are beyond his realm of knowledge, you know, even Superman Returns, you know, finding about the crystals and building islands and things like that. But most of the time, he's kind of, even then, it's kind of real estate is his motivation in that one, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I really like that we kind of get that contrast of he is looking into kind of these science portions that we don't usually see him go into.
Yeah. So anyway, let me just say, I have nothing else to say about Lex. I mean, we could talk about him a lot, but I think I've made the points that I want to make. I think that Lex Luthor was great. His portrayal was great. The acting was great. And he was just so fascinating to think about. I like the fact that his motivations weren't entirely obvious, but when you think about it, you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. He's just this huge egomaniac, misunderstood, and just wants to get back at everybody for all the stuff that's happened to him. And yeah, do you have any thoughts to wrap up Lex Luthor with?
Do you think do you think we'll ever see a war suit from Lex in the near future?
Oh my gosh, let me tell you a story about that. So in the show notes, I don't know if Taylor's seen this, it just says, I saw it at Target and got nervous. I don't know if you know what that means.
I don't know the backstory, I did see that you put that in.
Okay, so here's what happened. It had to have been like a month. No, it was right at the new year, I remember, because that's when all the Batman v Superman merchandise hit. So I was in Target shopping for a new apartment because we need to get a little bit of furniture, like bathroom rugs and nonsense. And I'm walking by the toy aisle on my way back to those home furnishings, and I see there's Batman v Superman stuff. And I was like, oh, sweet. So I went and checked it out, and there's the cool, like, multiverse figure, the armor suit Batman, just in his normal suit. A lot of cool Batman stuff there. And then I see there's this big, like, multi-pack of four or five characters, I can't remember, and it was Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Aquaman was in there, funnily enough, because, like, he only got, like, 30 seconds in the movie, if that. And then there was Lex Luthor in the power suit, and I was like, what the heck? The movie spoiled by the toys, but then I couldn't make up my mind if I thought that was actually going to happen. And in the end, I'm glad it didn't. Like, I like the power suit just as much as the next guy. I just think it's a lot more fascinating when he's not in the suit, because I think that's a good contrast. Superman is pretty much all powerful when it comes to physical attributes, and Lex Luthor is absolutely not, but a lot of times he puts Superman in situations where his strength means nothing, and so I think it just kind of cheapens it up when you put Lex in a suit that makes him really, really strong and is just chock full of kryptonite. Sometimes he even has like a big spear that shoots lasers with it on, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Have you ever played Injustice?
Definitely, uh-huh.
Yeah, so you see Lex with that. Anyway, I like the power suit. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so it'd be fun, but I definitely agree with you. I think we're kind of glad it didn't quite make an appearance in this movie.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to seeing it. I just think it's kind of a cop-out sometimes. There's a lot smarter stories you can write, and in a very different genre, when you have to force Lex to not put on that suit, and to force Superman to these situations where his strength means nothing, where he has to think his way out of stuff. Sometimes he still punches his way out, but most of the time he has to think his way out.
Because I definitely like that, because, I mean, you think about one of his most traumatic events kind of in his life, you know, is losing Jonathan Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from Man of Steel, where he loses his life to the tornado, he has just a simple heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows and haunts Superman in the sense that despite his strength, despite his speed, despite his flying, there's some things that he just cannot stop.
Yeah.
So I think Lex is often a reminder of him to that. That, you know, his strength and his abilities cannot stop everything. And so, I'm in agreement.
Very true. And guys, if you didn't pick it up, I love the book, Superman Birthright. If you never read that, definitely pick it up, give it a read. It is awesome. It's the book that originally made me love Superman. So yeah, do you have any closing thoughts?
I guess just speaking of Goodreads, in the future we be kind of referencing some great material. I think next time we're going to talk a little bit more about Suicide Squad. There's some big news this week that we'll be addressing in our next episode with Margot Robbie kind of coming out of saying kind of her potential future roles and maybe kind of even some leadership roles as far as film directions go.
Yeah, guys. This is exciting. We got a big Suicide Squad episode coming up. I am pumped to talk about it. This movie looks so good, and I couldn't be more excited. But anyway, if you have any questions, comments, feedback for us, send it in. Email address is thebatcave@beyondthebatcave.com. You can also comment on our website, www.beyondthebatcave.com. Give us a rate, review on iTunes, really helps get the word out there. Any closing comments, Taylor?
Well, just thanks so much for joining us, guys. And until next time, Bat fans.